This is Phil Farron, and I am driving hither and fro across the face of the earth. I have to run to Walmart real quick. I may have to do an edit. I usually do not do edits on these, but I may need to do an edit. It's actually Wednesday today because it is the day before Thanksgiving. It's been a good week, obviously a little shorter week. Got a lot of good stuff done and, you know, yada, yada, yada. My dad's been recovering from prostate surgery. And, you know, he's 92 and three quarters, so that doesn't always go as smoothly as you'd hope. And now, today, he said his stomach's been hurting, so we're hoping that the gallbladder is not flaring back up. Although, you know, he's through his deductible this year, so if he needed to have gallbladder surgery, now would be the time to do it. We just have to, we're in that position of having to decide, you know, do I haul him down to the emergency room, or so I'm actually making a run for them, getting them a couple of an item from Walmart, and then I'm going to run over to their house, and we're going to have a chat, figure out what we're going to do. He said he took some Tylenol, and he's feeling a little better, but he's had a stomach ache basically all day, which is not, you know, that's not good. So if his gallbladder's acting up, then I should probably get him down to the hospital, so they can keep it calmed down until we can have gallbladder surgery. But we'll make those decisions. You know, this is all just kind of part of that transition of life. And we'll get this stuff all figured out. We'll just take it one step at a time. I think I mentioned on here I've been playing with Star Wars Card Trader, which is completely digital, which is an interesting thing. And I've about done all I'm going to do with it. There's a couple of things that are finishing up in this next week, and I'm ready to just kind of hunker down and watch it for a while and see what happens. It's pretty interesting because Topps, which runs the Star Wars Card Trader, basically they just want people to keep buying credits and getting cards, so they keep having to manufacture new stuff, and they don't really care about any kind of secondary market. In fact, when they started up, they wanted to pretend like the secondary market didn't exist, where people would take the cards and sell them to each other. I have made a nice friendship out of all this with that. But yeah, there's some weird stuff, and it's really hard to predict which way this thing's going to go. And so I'm going to have to make a little decision as to whether or not I want to dump out of all the cards. Because what is happening right now is they'll do a new series of cards. Everybody will be excited about it. It'll be hard, you know, especially for the ones that are harder to get. People are buying credits, and then they get tired of that. And then what they do is they run over to eBay and buy up the cards. And there's a lot of churning at that point. And so the prices on the cards are at one level. And then once the award is done, then the prices start sliding. And in fact, what's really weird is that you can usually get the entire series with the award card for less than the individual's cards cost when it was all in the churn. And when you look at a longer view, several months, you can see that the value of the set keeps dropping, with a few exceptions. And so it's really, that's what's happening right now. Now when the new movie comes out and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I've talked about that before in here, but I've been playing with this for the last month or so, but I'm as invested as I want to get at this point. And then I'm just going to rock back on my heels and watch. But it's really fascinating. Like I said, I've made a nice friend. out of it. And we've been talking about what Star Wars Card Trader needs to keep moving forward. And my contention is that they need their own auction site. They need to be allowing people to do auctions and sell cards and that sort of thing. They can take a cut at it, because then they could build a site that would be fundamentally better than eBay, because they would have access to the database and they'd know who has what cards and they could do the transfers automatically, yada, 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 yada. So it's been nice to have something else just to kind of play with, because I've been writing and writing and working and working and writing and writing and working and working. So that's been good. As far as the writing goes, I'm just slogging through the edits right now, which is what you do at this point. You just slog through the edits. And that's why it's also been nice to kind of have a little distraction. But anyways, all that to say, it's been a good week. Things are puttering along. I may be taking my dad to the hospital this evening. I don't know yet. I'll know better when I go to actually talk to him after I pick them up a little item here from Walmart. This week, I've been chatting with friends. And it started last week, really. But this week I've been chatting with friends about the whole Syrian refugee crisis and the response of the European nations to it and the response of the United States to it and the response of the various political parties in the United States to it and the response to people on Facebook to it. And I've been chatting with friends about that whole thing. And I came across an article that is titled in such a way as to have people click on it. The title of the article was "The Moral Stupidity of the Refugee Debate." And as I was reading through this, I thought, well, he's got some interesting points he's making there. Maybe we'll chat about that. So it's been... I frankly have not kept up that close with things that are going on with it. Obviously, I know there's a Syrian refugee crisis, but I've been editing and I've been on Star Wars Card Trader. And I've been paying a little attention to it. But it's interesting to talk to my friends about this and see their viewpoints on things and how they're reacting to all of this and watch their reactions to other people reacting to it, which that's really got me started thinking about this whole thing. I have one buddy that I have breakfast with the third Thursday of the month, and so we got together, and he was ready to have all these people who were talking about this crisis quit talking about it, because he said, you know, I think his viewpoint was that there was just so much fear and hesitation and, you know, just general ill will towards the whole thing, that he just was looking for people to be a bit more Christ-like in all of it, which is a valid viewpoint, and they kind of cover some of that in this article. And we will get back to that in a minute. I probably will be inside for long enough that this thing is going to shut off. But we're going to give this a try and see how long it will stay on. Whoa, I bet that did weird things to the sound because I just picked the recorder up. We're going to see how long this thing will actually stay on pause. So here I go. I'll be back. Okay, so apparently it will go longer than 5 minutes. So let me get my car started back up. Got to get the little recorder put back up here. Anyway, so this article, yay, no edits, was written by Damon Linker. And honestly, if this article had been written a couple of decades ago, there would have been a quick and immediate assignment of a term to what he's talking about when he talks about morality. He makes certain assumptions, and in fact, what he's really talking about is moral relativism, that the situation, or situational ethics, the situation really calls for you to analyze what's happening and adjust accordingly. But anyways, let's just look at his stuff real quick here. He says, pretty much everyone assumes that morality is a good thing, but few face up to just how multifaceted and even downright contradictory it can be, pulling us in different directions, making conflicting demands. We all know that it's just plain wrong to lie. And yet we also know that in some situations, when Nazis show up at your door in search of a family of Jews, you're hiding in the basement, it can actually be morally wrong to tell the truth. Now, not sure about that. There have been stories of people who have told the truth even in that situation, and then lived with the consequences. And this idea that we will lie or we will conduct in other things that we consider to be morally wrong because of the situation, I think if we dig down underneath it and really look at that, the reason we are making the choice is because we are afraid of the consequences of doing those things which we feel are morally right. And that's something that's going to carry through all of this and really come down to, as I was discussing all of this with my friends this week, my viewpoint, where I kept coming back to with them. Anyways, so said because of that, in his opinion, that there's a need for prudence, for practical wisdom to weigh the various contrary considerations and decides when it is necessary to make trade-offs between them. And he feels like where people get in trouble is when they fail to recognize that there are trade-offs. And he said that when people fail to recognize, I'm sorry, I'm on a windy road. I'm not usually on a windy road when I'm doing this, so this is not ideal. Anyway, so he starts talking about the two sides of the issue. And the one side is, he says, which is overwhelmingly, in the United States, overwhelmingly, but not exclusively Republicans, are those who oppose admitting any refugees. And he said they don't use the language explicitly. Their majority position is based on a concern for the common good of the United States, which includes protecting the political community from the harm that would be inflicted if one or more of the refugees resorted to terrorism after settling in this country. And he said, you know, there are ways that this is a legitimate concern, but the United States is a population of 318 million people, and, you know, letting in a few refugees, even if you had one or two that were determined to do ill, might do some damage, but they wouldn't do that much damage, according to him. Now, you can have a couple of people in the wrong places, and you can certainly do a lot of damage, as was proved on 9/11. He said, as many have pointed out, the United States has allowed roughly 800,000 refugees to settle in this country since 2001, and not one of them has resorted to terrorism. The likelihood that once admitted, one of the latest batch of refugees will either turn out to be a covert ISIS operative or become a jihadist after arriving here is quite small. Okay, well, there you go. And he goes on to talk about the fact that the United States is a nation devoted to higher principles than human-authored laws. He said, most of us believe, at least sometimes, that our laws derive from an appeal to a moral law that applies to all human beings, not just the United States. Some conceive of this higher law in terms of inalienable human rights grounded in America's founders' deistic nature and nature's God. Others fall back on more traditional Judeo-Christians, that we should love our neighbor, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so he said there's a powerful stream of American moral convictions which dictates that in certain circumstances, at least, those from outside the political community deserve to be treated as equals. In other words, our morals demand that we let them in. And he said, in coming down so strongly against admitting any refugees, he feels like the Republican candidates for president and more than half of the nation's governors are acting in an un-American and un-Christian way. Now, it depends on your definition of Christianity. In my definition of Christianity, yes, that would be absolutely true. But organized Christianity has a way of redefining itself when it's convenient. Then he starts talking about the flip side of it. So you got, in his opinion, you've got those who don't want to allow any refugees to come in, focus too heavily on protecting the country when you could lessen that argument by simply looking around, you know, making a judgment call based on practical good sense. He said, however, those uniformly focused on what they believe is owed to Syrian refugees, many other Americans who favor opening our doors to those fleeing the war zone seem indifferent to the concerns about the common good. Going far beyond prudentially denying that the refugees pose a significant threat, many imply that their curt and angry dismissals of those on the other side of the issue, that they must be motivated by moral indifference, selfishness, cowardness, blah, 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 blah. So in his opinion, it's almost as if some on the pro-refugee side of the argument consider it illegitimate to take into account threats to the common good when formulating our country's policies. And he said, if some on this side of the Atlantic have edged in that direction, he said, many do so more regularly in Europe, since the entire EU project is premised on the view that the common good of pluralistic national entities lacks the moral standing of universalic humanitarian ideals. And, of course, there's many European countries that have just said, yeah, we'll just take everybody. And he said that would be bad if it merely meant that the continent would face the threat of jihadists entering the EU along with those just genuinely fleeing the Syrian war zone. But the graver danger, in his opinion, lies in the future. Europeans do many things well, but assimilating Arab Muslim immigrants is not one of them. As Adam Garfinkel recently put in an editorial essay, if only a tenth of 1% of these Arabs are now or are later turned into Salafari-based political violence, he said the continent will face a crisis that will make the murderous mayhem of last weekend seem like child's play. And so you've got both sides of this argument, and they're going back and forth, and they're trying to figure out what is the right thing to do, what is the moral thing to do. And both of them seem to be completely ignoring the other side's legitimate points, which is what the point he's trying to make in the article, that people get rigid and they just can't see, and that's bad. But there's something else, as I've been chatting to my friends about this, that I've used this as a way to once again help us at least focus on, if not resolve, which it's very difficult to resolve, but at least focus on some underlying issues. And the question, you know, that as I've been chatting with friends about, should we let the refugees in? What should we do? It is my simple viewpoint that, in fact, we should let the refugees in. And show them the love of Christ, treat them as our neighbors, because I think if we would look what Christ would do, there's no question that Christ would do that. And there's a very good and interesting reason why Christ would do that. He would do that because he would not be concerned about the survival of the United States as a country. And that's really what it comes down to. If we are going to behave in a way that follows the principles that are laid out by Christ, we have to be willing to sacrifice everything. And really, when you are allowing refugees from other countries to come in, you can expect that sooner or later there may be a problem. And it's my opinion that if instead of going over and invading in Afghanistan and doing all those things that we did after 9/11, you know, putting in the surveillance state and all those things, if we had just said, yeah, you know, they killed a lot of us, but we're just going to keep moving forward and we're going to treat them with as much kindness and compassion and forgiveness as we can, that the outcome would have been much different, and we wouldn't have spent the trillions of dollars that we have spent and really not made any foreseeable improvement in the situation in the world. But of course, there's plenty of ways that we could have made improvement in that with the hundreds of billions of dollars that we've spent on weapons, if we had instead maybe spent those on schools. But that's a whole other discussion, and sorry this has been so scatterbrained. It is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so of course my brain is shutting down, but I am also over at my parents' house, and I've got to go in and figure out what we're going to do there, because we may be taking a trip to the hospital. So this is Phil Ferrand. I have not made it home. I'm not sure when I'm going to make it home today, but at the end of the day, there is nothing to fear, and everything is going to work out okay. Have a great Thanksgiving.